The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. That's right. We are countywide, almost countywide here at Morning Drive. Glad to have you with us this morning. It's Friday, January 17th, and we are live and local from our WTBR studio over here on Federico Drive in Pittsfield. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning, and Jim Willis is my guest this morning. He is the Executive Director of Tri-Town Health, and we're going to be talking about a variety of health and all kinds of different issues. Find out what Tri-Town Health is and does for people that aren't familiar with it, and talk about the programs they run. There's a big move going on, actually just went on recently, and we'll talk to Jim about that in just a moment. First, let's go to our weather forecast and see what we have in store for us over the next 36 hours or so from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Cold with highs in the lower 30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the lower 20s. Temperature rising into the upper 20s after midnight. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain or snow in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 30s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I did hear a little longer range beyond that to Sunday night into Monday. I was hearing about a storm coming our way, but it sounds to me like it's headed south, a little further south. We're going to catch a tail of that maybe and get a few inches of snow overnight Sunday to Monday. Keep an eye on that one, I'd say. But otherwise, nice quiet weekend with a little light snow. Not bad. All right, welcome to the show. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And Jim Willis, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sean.
I should say welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thank you for inviting me to the show. It's I remember the early days at Taconic High School, and I remember being in this studio a while back producing our monthly Be Well Berkshire show. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy Friday.
Absolutely. I interviewed you several times during that time period when it was at Taconic High School, and had great conversations. And I'm sure now, today, I'll just mention that the Berkshire Eagle did run a story on our new frequency in Lee, which covers Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge, pretty much all the areas that Tri-Town Health is centered on. And so it's kind of fortuitous that you ended up on the show this morning. We do have quite a few more listeners in South County as well as here in Pittsfield. So it's good timing.
Excellent timing, yeah.
So tell us about yourself, first of all, and then we'll get into what Tri-Town Health is and does.
Sure. Jim Willis. I'm a resident of Pittsfield. I'm married with two kids. One is about to go into high school. He's trying to sort out if he wants to go to Taconic or PHS. I love the vocational schools. I went to McCann, you know, a million years ago up in North Adams. My youngest is wrapping up elementary school at Williams, and we love this community. And I went to McCann. I went into the Air Force right out of high school. I served a couple tours in the Gulf War, and a longtime vet, and still connect with many of my friends that I served with. I remember when Facebook first became a thing, no one wanted to touch it, and that was my platform to reach out to all the people I had been stationed with over the years. And I still communicate and actually meet up with many of my veteran friends that either have retired since then and kind of live all over the country. And I just born, raised in the Berkshires, left for many years, came back. And then I questioned myself on single-digit days why I came back.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that way in January, you know. But still, there are people that just wait and love that snow. They can't wait for the big snowstorm to come. So you get a little of both, right?
I'm good.
You're not in that column though, right?
I'm good until like January. Yeah. Then like come on, spring.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about Tri-Town Health. It is a longstanding institution that serves three towns, as it says, mm-hmm. Tri-Town Health, but also does much more than that, right?
Yeah. So Tri-Town is the oldest health district in the Commonwealth. Hmm. Tri-Town got together in 1929. Wow. Due to a milk outbreak to share a milk inspector.
Okay.
And so Tri-Town got together way before there were even laws and regulations that allowed sharing of services. And so we're creeping up on our centennial, 2029. Tri-Town covers Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, and it's really evolved since the 20s. Back in the old days with the farm, and we had a milk laboratory, which was a regional laboratory. Mm. Back in the old days, the milk inspector, the first director of Tri-Town was Paul Morse, who established like a regional milk laboratory to test for diseases. And
that was probably around the time that milk was just pasteurized, right?
I mean, even before that. Yeah. And so there was a role there, and Peter Kaloje was the second director of Tri-Town. Yep. I'm actually the third since 1929.
Wow.
So from a director perspective, there's been a longstanding sense of leadership there.
And that's a name that a lot of people will recognize.
Yeah.
Peter Kaloje.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still talk. And mm-hmm. he was my mentor when I first got in the military and got into public health mm-hmm. when I was putting myself through school. And it's really evolved since then, from the milk laboratory days and disease surveillance mm-hmm. to regulatory, the water laws mm-hmm. and environmental laws started shifting in the 60s and 70s to tobacco control. Mm-hmm. And there's been this evolution, and we've really grown since 1929. And we've taken on a lot of regional programs. We're the only municipal-led district in Berkshire County, and we've really paved the way to help other municipalities think about opportunities mm-hmm. to maximize their efficiency and serve the needs of the community, all within an affordable way. Because we were talking offline, Sean, how difficult it is to budget and adequately staff and finance a single department to meet the needs of the community,
right.
And especially smaller towns that are more rural,
which other than
Pittsfield and North Adams, the rest of the county is towns.
Yeah. And some of those towns are small, and some of the towns are even smaller, right?
Smaller.
I mean, that's the unique part about Berkshire County versus the rest of the state, where maybe that isn't so much of an issue, having a health department for a town, much larger than, let's say, a Stockbridge or a Lee or a Lennox.
Yeah. Well, and Massachusetts is set up very uniquely compared to the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. We don't have, there's no county government.
Mm-hmm.
There was that sort of setup back when Smitty was a county commissioner,
right.
But public health was never part of the county commission stuff. So mm-hmm. you have 351 cities and towns, 351 boards of health, and there's a lot of inequities in that model in public health, because some municipalities that are wealthy and have capital can actually invest in multiple employees at a competitive rate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get small towns where you may not have as many restaurants, but there's septic issues, there's farm runoff, and there's all these other public health things that the residents deserve to get, and towns can't afford to have a health inspector per se.
Yeah.
And so,
it is a really wide-ranging thing, though, isn't it?
Very wide-ranging.
When you talked about all those things you just mentioned, restaurants immediately comes to mind, right? Health inspectors, you think about that.
Yeah, there's so much. There's the environmental health piece, and then there's disease prevention and surveillance and wellness and healthy outcomes. And there's so much more in public health than, code enforcement, housing, inspections. It's, we need to make sure that every resident gets access to public health.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about legislation that was just finalized, maybe in the second part.
Sure.
But public health is changing. And I told myself 20-something years ago that something major would have to go down in order for major monumental structural public health changes were made,
mm-hmm.
and that happened.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll definitely want to talk about that for sure.
Yeah.
And that's something where, you know, again, you're dealing with very localized issues, things that happen on the ground that you need to be aware of. And then you have to deal with state regulations and things that sort of come from on high, right?
Yeah. The government loves regulations. Mm-hmm. They people sitting in a room and writing all sorts of very complicated things that many people don't understand, and then they just, here you go, enforce this. Mm. You know, many of them make sense, but they're constantly tweaking regulations, and it's hard to stay up on.
Yeah, and they can all have impact locally also, not only with things that people have to comply with, but it also may have an economic impact on them, right? An unfunded economic impact.
Yeah, what we call unfunded mandates. they push things on us and say, here you go, and then it's my job to go to my finance committee and say, well, we need more staff, we need this, we need that, and it's a delicate balance, that's for sure.
So this time of the year, the winter, what is Tri-Town Health most involved with right now? Does it come sort of seasonally? Are there different things that you have to concentrate on at different parts of the year?
Yes and no. I mean, we're always busy. You know, if we have a lot of restaurants and places that have like indoor pools. Mm. We have a lot of restaurants that are still operating in the winter. Not a lot of septic issues. South County, we have a lot of communities that are on private wells. Mm-hmm. They're not on municipal sewer. Mm-hmm. That slows down a little bit during like January through March, but we still do monthly pool inspections. Mm. We have our own laboratory that we actually test our own pools, wells, beaches in the summertime, and many other things where we do we test for E. coli and coliform. So that's an ongoing thing. Housing complaints and issues is a big thing, especially when it gets really cold. Mm-hmm. That's when heating systems crash and water line breaks and they freeze. And, you know, we don't have a significant amount of housing complaints as compared to like Pittsfield and other communities, because the populations are a lot smaller, more spread out rural.
Yeah.
But there's quite a bit of things that keep us busy.
Yeah. Infestations, things like that. Does that happen?
We get things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of bed bug issues, many complaints during the summer season, obviously. But the winter, you know, it's we're busy with housing and our regular food inspections and so on and so forth. Because a lot of places, we have a lot of restaurants in the Tri-Town area.
Yeah.
I don't know how many we have per se, but it's like between 200 and 400 permits we issue.
Wow.
You know.
That is pretty significant.
Weekend events, the brick and mortars. Mm-hmm. Food trucks are getting very popular.
Yeah. And how do you regulate or inspect food truck? That must be a moving target, no pun intended.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the food trucks today are pretty awesome, I have to say. Yeah. I personally love food trucks. Like, I think they're unique. Mm. And, you know, it's the brick and mortar, I get and respect, because people invest more, I think, in taxes and commercial taxes and all that stuff. I love food trucks. Mm. You know, they're very unique, and they're really fascinating. They have their own heating systems, their own hand wash sinks, three bay sinks. Like, it's like these little mini commercial kitchens, and they're pretty awesome. Mm. And you know, we get those from time to time, and we inspect them and make sure that they're complying with all the regulations on hot and cold holding, gloves, you know, heating. We even have ice cream trucks now that can run year round. It's pretty amazing.
So are they required to get an inspection every so often, or is that something where you can just inspect, you know, when necessary, or if there's a complaint or something like that? How does that work?
Twice a year.
Okay.
Notwithstanding any complaints, you know, we inspect pretty heavily all our restaurants and whatnot.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay, and including the trucks.
Including the trucks.
All right.
Including caterers. Special events, weekend events, retail stores. It just, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. That's amazing. There's an amazing amount of different things that go on. How many people work for and with Tri-Town Health?
Yeah. So for Tri-Town Health, which is our core district, there's four of us. I have two full-time inspectors, an assistant director who helps me with the office stuff and backs me up if you know, if I decide to be out or whatever. And then there's myself. And then I have additional staff that does other programming mm-hmm. that we can talk about, like the collaborative and our tobacco program yep. and nursing program and many other things.
But again, it's a really good example of shared services going way back to the point where if each one of those towns had to do that for themselves, that would be much more difficult, right? So it's really an economy of scale.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All three of our towns, Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge, are very busy. Mm-hmm. So Stockbridge, the smallest community, while they may have less restaurants, they have more septic, more well mm-hmm. issues, and mm-hmm. it kind of goes back and forth. And, you know, Lenox is our busiest town, mm-hmm. followed by Lee and Stockbridge. And it's a really good system. You know, each town participates and funds the budget based on, it's like a rolling average of about the number of services we provide. It used to be mm-hmm. under a population model, mm-hmm. but there were some inequities with the population model where, like, Lee, for example, within the three towns had the highest population, but we were providing more services to Lenox.
I see.
And so that was the old archaic model. Mm-hmm. We kind of got together a few years ago and retooled that. So everybody pays their fair share. We collect all the revenue, goes back to the town. Mm-hmm. But when you start to break apart Tri-Town and you look and say, okay, well, what would it look like just for Lee? I mean, you would need a sanitarian.
Right.
You would need an inspector. Mm-hmm. You need a place for how is the department? Yeah.
And those things are not optional either, right?
You have to
be able to perform those functions.
You got to build a laboratory. Mm-hmm. You got to have your own permitting system. When we start to quantify all that, you're already past what LEAP participates for the Tri-Town budget because, like, now you're on your own. And so that argument doesn't come up a lot because I'm very blessed in the Tri-Town district. Mm-hmm. We have excellent, top-notch leadership from our boards of health, who govern Tri-Town. Mm-hmm. I actually work for the boards of health.
Mm-hmm. So there's a board of health in each town.
There's a board of health in each town, and mm-hmm. they meet autonomously, but mm-hmm. then we come together as a Tri-Town board with all nine members to deal with Tri-Town-related mm-hmm. business. But we're really blessed because we have top-notch leadership from town administrators to town managers to select board members, finance mm-hmm. committee, you know, town meeting reps. We do a lot in our community. We're well known. We try to solve problems, mm-hmm. work with people the best of our abilities, and people want that service. And so we're very blessed to have that mm-hmm. kind of leadership. Whereas some other towns, it's a struggle sometimes. There's not enough staff. There's not enough resources. It's mm-hmm. how do we deal with this housing issue? How do we go to housing court when mm-hmm. we don't have access to town council? So public health has we've come a long way in almost my 30 years doing it, and there's a lot of good things happening in public health to really close the gap of inequities.
Yeah. You're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, also on 88.1 in Lee, WSBR, and glad to have you along with us this morning. Jim Willis is my guest here. He's the executive director of Tri-Town Health, which serves Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge, and programs throughout, I believe you said, 12 other communities. Is that right?
Well, we do a lot in Berkshire County. Yeah. So one of our longstanding programs is our tobacco awareness program. Okay. We've been funded for 30 years. So back in 1993, when they passed a referendum to start taxing tobacco products,
right. The
state created these regional tobacco program. So it's 100% Department of Public Health funded. We cover 14 municipalities in the mm-hmm. Berkshires, including Pittsfield, Williamstown, mm-hmm. and North County, and some in South. And so we do a lot with our tobacco program. We work with our boards of health to educate retailers. We put a lot of effort into educating our retail establishments, making sure they understand the laws, mm-hmm. which are comprehensive.
Yeah.
Each town may have a different set of local regulations. There's attorney general regulations. There's FDA regulations. Yeah. And the list goes on.
Very complicated to sell a tobacco product.
But
right?
but very important because mm-hmm. we don't want our young people to get access to vape products
right.
and tobacco products. And big tobacco spends billions of mm-hmm. dollars in market development, promotion, and delivery of many yeah. products. And so we work with our Berkshire Boards of Health on that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there was just an issue in Pittsfield recently with a particular shop that was still selling a flavored tobacco or vape product, I think, right? And that, is that something you were involved with as well?
We do a lot of the field inspections and the compliance checks with our young people under 21. And then we then punt that away to the Boards of Health. They're responsible for handling their own enforcement. Mm. But, you know, again, we're out there two or three times a year educating every retailer in the Berkshires about laws. You know, and the flavor ban kicked in 2019.
So it's not exactly new.
2025. Right?
And the reason that they banned and this is in the state of Massachusetts, right? So it's not necessarily a national ban on these products. But Massachusetts has said no flavored for anyone, right?
You can't. Flavors. Yeah. Look, the statistics are very clear when it comes to nicotine. You know, we always traditionally said tobacco, but it's really nicotine.
Well, these days, because of the vape products.
The vaping epidemic, the schools are struggling. And look, the statistics are there. Tobacco is still the number one preventable death in the United States. Mm. You know, thousands of chemicals, new products coming out. Flavor. There's many statistics on flavors, attracting young people. And so, the state law was passed in 2000, getting rid of menthols and many other things. And so, we try really hard to educate retailers to help them help themselves. Mm. And while we don't have significant violations anymore like we used to back in 15, 20 years ago, we still see pockets of things happening. And we just got to make sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And no different if someone walks into a liquor store and they're 16 and they buy a six-pack, I'm sure Pittsfield PD probably won't be happy. And there's laws about that too, you know.
Right, right. And obviously that's, in place to see if we can, tamp down some of the really negative effects of this. And I'm sure that the vape products made it all that much more difficult, right?
Yeah, I mean, and look at, we don't want the next generation to be hooked and addicted to products that are unhealthy.
Knows what chemicals?
Yeah, and I haven't
really taken.
Oh, absolutely, and I haven't seen Mayor Marchetti's State of the City address, but I know substance use and addiction is a big topic for that in this administration, and I know it's a priority for the Pittsfield Health Department. Well, it's more than just opioids and other things. I mean, there's major addiction problems with vaping and tobacco and nicotine, and we can't just alcohol too. We can't just silo one certain substance use issue and not all of them. So we need to, if we really want our next generation to be healthier, I think there's some tools in the toolbox that I think Boards of Health can be looking at down the road.
Yeah. Are the Tri-Town Health or any Boards of Health, are they involved at all with inspecting marijuana dispensaries, things like that? That's completely separate.
I think I'm okay with that. I mean, I think the Cannabis Control Commission at the state level is in charge of all the cannabis places. Mm-hmm. And, I came across one of my marijuana places that wanted to do some type of food at one point. Hmm. And
that's an interesting.
Well, my concern with one of these places is the cross contamination of cannabis products with food. Mm. And so what ended up happening was that the Cannabis Control Commission said, we'll govern the cannabis products like the brownies and stuff. And I'm like, you can't give this out to the public. It's only for your 21 and over.
Yeah.
And so, and I know there's a lot of things. I mean, I have personal opinions on cannabis, but it's like, I think it's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everywhere. And, I do get worried about the young people. But at least they're 21 and over.
Right.
They're, I think, are doing the right thing of carding people way before they go in. It's legal. We're adapting to it. Mm-hmm. But now they're talking about, youth shops and cafes. And it's like, man.
Yeah. Well, in Massachusetts, in a way, was one of the leaders in that area and probably has more experience than some other states do. I was at a conference not related to health or anything. I was at a community media conference recently in Connecticut, and that topic seemed to come up frequently in Connecticut. Apparently, they're just getting into it now or trying to figure out how dispensaries and things like that will work in Connecticut. So they're very, very curious about what other states have done. So it's interesting to hear that, you know, that we're that far down the road and we're, you know, dealing with the things that you just mentioned with the, you know, the sort of the mix of if you've got food products and cannabis in one place, how do you deal with that? How do you regulate that?
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting, too, with New York and our surrounding states now moving in that direction to see where how if it will ever level off. Mm. I mean, obviously the demand is high. But, yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah. Jim Willis is my guest here this morning, Executive Director of Tri-Town Health, and this is Morning Drive on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 in Pittsfield, 88.1 in Lee. And so recently worked on a big move. So Tri-Town Health has been in Lee in the Araldi building, if everyone knows where that is, for how many years?
About 50.
50 years. Yeah, that's a long time in one building.
So Tri-Town, and the town of Lee is our fiscal host. We've been in Lee for probably since the beginning.
Wow.
You know, I think there was conversations throughout the years of, you know, when Stockbridge Plain School, where Stockbridge Town Office is now, mm-hmm. I think at one point when they reopened when Peter was still director, there was conversation there. Mm. So we've been in the Araldi building for about 50 years. I personally been in that building since the beginning of my career. I met my wife in that building. Wow. And so I have a lot of emotions when we moved, but yeah, I mean, like any other building, mm-hmm. you know, at one time there was us, there was Public Works, the Council on Aging was there,
right.
Chris Hodgkins had
right.
an office,
right.
I think Smitty had an office there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people in that building at one point, and then, you know, slowly but surely, mm-hmm. we had Veterans Services there.
It was a very old building, too, right?
Yeah.
40s, 50s, maybe somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I don't know.
Earlier?
I don't know the year it was built, but
yeah.
It looked and felt old, that's for sure. And, you know, and for the longest time when I was there, you know, there was only two or three of us at Tri-Town, and it was, you know, it was fine. But, like, you know, buildings age, mm-hmm. they go beyond their use. You know, it's no different. We were talking off air about some of our schools
absolutely.
Crumbling.
Yeah.
I mean, police departments crumbling. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and then in the last 5 or 6 years, we've really expanded Tri-Town into our Southern Berkshire Collaborative, our comprehensive nurse program. You know, we have 11 people now, and I was kind of like shoveling like two or three inspectors in one like closet. Then I had an old bathroom we had to convert over to like, you know, storage space. Uh-huh. And it's like, and then with Lennox doing their public safety building, and there was rumblings what Lee was going to do, but it wasn't really clear until about a year ago. You know, they were planning about building their own public safety building. And I was at the table for all those meetings. And, you know, and when you see the price come back mm-hmm. on potential cost.
Especially now.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I was, and I just, in the back of my mind, I was sitting in that meeting. Because, you know, we cover three towns. Like, mm-hmm. Tri-Towns, I won't say we're complicated, but, like, you know, we do cover Lennox. We mm-hmm. do cover Lee. We do cover Stockbridge. And, you know, our space was going to be pretty expensive. And, yeah. like, you know, it's no different than if we're in any other town. So in my mind, I was like, okay, how is this going to work?
Right. And complicating that, too, was the fact that that building is actually going to be demolished
yeah.
and going to be there's going to be a new public safety building there for Lee in yeah, that same
and,
spot.
Well, before like it became finalized at town meeting, there were different locations Lee was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the back of my mind, I knew our time was running out at some point because it wasn't finalized yet. It was actually going to be where the Araldi building was going to be. They were looking at some other options, and mm-hmm. but there were some issues with purchase and I don't know all those details. And so, like, we knew that Lennox was building their public safety building. I'm like, well, maybe Lennox is an option because, you know, the PD and the fire department, they were going to merge over to the new public safety building on Housatonic Street there
in the
720.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, so that's a couple of years out. And I'm like, oh, I got a couple of years. And we are slowly outliving our building because we're growing, expanding, and there's no place to put anybody anymore. You know, the internet, the wires. And so Lee was awesome supporting us, and they knew it was an old building. But and so as the town meeting thing started coming to fruition, they're like, oh, by the way, we're tearing down the Araldi building. And I'm like, oh, boy.
So that kind of capped it, right?
So, yeah. I mean, like, but, you know, like, at the time, it was Smitty, who was the interim town manager in Lennox, Chris Britton, who's the current town administrator in Lee, and Mike Canales, town manager in Lennox. We kind of started talking to each other, like, okay, what's our option? Mm. Do we lease commercial space, which then I have, you know, we have to do those appropriations every, you know, like we're talking 25, 30, 40 grand for commercial space.
Absolutely.
We got to be ADA. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, where in Lee are we going to go? Lee Town Hall wasn't an option because they're full.
Pretty full there.
You know, yeah. It's like, so Lenox was a couple years out, mm-hmm. because by time, you know, the public safety building in Lenox got built, and by time the Lenox PD moved, you know, we're talking another 1-2 years out. I didn't want to pick up a 50-year, you know, almost 100-year operation and just play whack-a-mole and just bounce around. And so somewhere along the line, Mike Canales, who's the town manager in Stockbridge, said, well, wait a minute. We may have some space. Let's start to think about, you know, what this all looks like. And so we just started kind of working from there. We had to hire some companies to figure out the moving costs, you know, and we had recently digitized about 80% of our records.
Oh, wow.
We had like about 80 years worth of records up in the attic. And I'm like, I'm not moving that. But as we're, as Tri-Town and many others are trending more to the digital world, mm-hmm. I hired a company. They came out, emptied the attic. They scanned all our archives. It's all on the cloud now.
Wow.
And so, we're online permitting. Mm-hmm. Like, we're kind of going paperless now. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of got everything together, and we made the move. We're wrapping up our second week in Stockbridge. Yep. So,
and for everyone, familiar with that area, and it's really not that far away. It's basically down 102.
Down 102,
and it's pretty centrally located, even still for all three towns.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, whether we were in Lee, Lenox Town Hall, mm-hmm. or Stockbridge Town Hall, all three kind of intertwine with each other.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're at 50 Main Street, Stockbridge. Stockbridge Town offices, our collaborative nursing, Southern Berkshire Collaborative, is on the ground floor, and the Tri-Town offices are on the first floor. Our phone numbers are the same, 413-243-5540. Website's still the same, tritownhealth.org. I want to give a shout out to all the leadership from our town managers, our select boards, for finding us a home. It was a good move. Our computers work. It's
always very important.
Oh my God. And you know, it's great. And we're very thankful for Lee for hosting us for so many years. And you know, Tri-Town does a lot, and you know, it's a lot. It wasn't a difficult move, but it's like, for me, like, I had a lot of sentimental emotions in that building because we did so much in that building, you know, and it's going to be torn down in a few months. I'm going to have to go the first day and maybe steal a brick or something.
Jim Willis is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We're talking about Tri-Town Health, and we're going to be back in just a moment. We'll take that top of the hour break that we take and talk more in depth about some of the programs. You mentioned the Nursing Collaborative and vaccines we want to talk about, many other things, Southern Berkshire Public Health Collaborative, I think you mentioned. So let's talk about that in the second half. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Be back right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget. Even if it's not perfect, it's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and welcome back to the show, on this Friday, January 17th, Executive Director of Tri-Town Health, Jim Willis, is my guest here this morning. We'll get back to our conversation with Jim in just a moment. First, let's do the weather forecast again and find out what is in store for us. It's kind of a nice, calm morning. Not much going on here this morning. Let's find out.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered flurries this morning. Cold with highs in the lower 30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the lower 20s. Temperature rising into the upper 20s after midnight. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain or snow in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 30s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, thank you for that. That's a good forecast for us for mid-January. Nothing wrong there. No big storms, though, so far this year. I haven't seen anything like that. We, you know, I want to knock on wood somewhere, right? But, you know, some people do like the big storms. It's okay. You know, you just also have to learn how to drive in it. And you don't always see the strong level of competency, let's say, with people trying to drive in the snow. We've just had a lot of nuisance storms, I think, this year. All right, Jim Willis is back with us. Thanks again for being here, Jim.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the nursing program.
Yeah.
And what does Tri-Town Health do with that?
Yeah, so going to the back to the pandemic, no one wants to talk about the pandemic anymore. But COVID's,
we all remember
COVID's still a thing. Yes. And it's fascinating to where we were to where we are because, you know, while Tri-Town responded really well to the pandemic, many boards of health, including us, didn't really have a comprehensive municipal-led public health nurse program. Hmm. Many boards of health used to contract out to, like, the visiting nurse to do, like, limited, like, flu clinic, mm-hmm. a little bit of disease surveillance. And then when the pandemic hit, the nursing contract that we had went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So March 2020,
right at that time,
I had to get our municipalities through COVID without a nurse.
Oh,
it was pretty awful. Hmm. And so I was working with Smitty and others, and even John Barrett up in North County would call me up all the time when the pandemic hit. And it was a rough few years for a lot of people, especially those that were affected heavily. And those lost people with COVID and stuff. But as a public health department, it was a struggle. not having that. And I said to myself, if I can make it through COVID, I have to build a nurse program. Mm. But while all that was going on, and I touched on this at the first part of the show about, you know, something major would have to go down in public health for the legislation and, you know, the people that are in charge of finances at the state level would finally open their eyes. Because Massachusetts is one of the only states that's not funded by the state. We're on our own at the local level. Mm-hmm. That's why there's all these inequities. Mm. And so, and there had been some grants out there over the years of, you know, creating health districts and sharing services, but it's not an easy thing to do when there's not a lot of resources and people that don't know how to do it the right way. Mm. But there had been grants over the years that DPH would put out, Department of Public Health, to try to promote towns from getting it. But usually you get like 100% funding, then 50% funded, then 25% funding. And the towns still don't have the resources or funding to make that happen. Mm. And so the state finally, the Office of Local Regional Health, finally got their act together and said, you know, like COVID-19 has wreaked havoc on the public health system in Massachusetts. I mean, there are cities and towns out there, Sean, that don't even have health agents. Wow. You know, it's volunteer boards of health trying to make all this work, enforcing all the governor's rules on COVID, which was a mess.
Yeah.
You know, you can only go out to dinner for 2 hours and 60 minutes. And we were stuck enforcing that stuff, you know, that would just come out that Friday. Mm-hmm. And so it was
probably coming fast and furious, right? So you're just trying to keep up with it.
And I vowed to myself and my boards, and I have a lot of doctors and nurses on my Tri-Town board, very smart and knowledgeable people and very supportive. I'm like, we need to get a nurse, whether we fund it through through our operational budget. Mm-hmm. But as that was kind of coming to fruition, they created this program called the Public Health Excellence Grant. Now, it was a program to kind of build a new public health infrastructure of shared services. And so at the time, I had reached out to several South County towns, you know, Sheffield, Great Barrington, New Marlborough, and many others, and said, guys, like, look at Tri-Town's got a good thing going on. We're strong. It's an institution. Town of Lee's our fiscal host. We got significant support. Mm-hmm. What if we created a more of a geographical, regional system where we can support the South County rural towns that may not have this, you know, the resources? Mm-hmm. And so, without getting into all those difficult details going down the road, we're now funded. We get quite a bit of money per year to provide comprehensive public health services. And so Tri-Town's still Tri-Town. We're sort of like the administrator of the grant.
Yep.
But we have a total of 12 towns, including Tri-Town. We have a full-time nursing program. Jill Sweet is our lead public health nurse. Mm. So she provides all the nursing services for the South County towns, vaccine clinics, communicable disease investigation, wellness clinics, TB. We just got certified as a pediatric vaccine provider. Mm. And then Jane Smith, who's my shared services program manager who manages the grant, we have another full-time health inspector that helps do the septic work and housing and the restaurants, really supporting the South County towns. Mm. And so the Public Health Excellence Grant has really grown to almost, I think, 330 cities and towns in Massachusetts. Wow. It's almost statewide. Hmm. And so
so that's some level of state help, basically.
Yeah, so they're funding it at a certain level. I mean, it's still not enough.
Hmm.
I mean, I could use probably another nurse. I could probably use another inspector.
Yeah.
But we're making it work, and we're kind of building the road as we go. And Tri-Town brings a lot to the table on we know how to run a regional health department. Hmm. And so trying to work with all these municipalities. And now what's happened now is there's legislation called the Foundations of Public Health Services, a lot of acronyms. Mm. It's actually state law that the governor just ratified that now requires every city or town to meet standards of public health.
Mm.
You need to have certain.
So that wasn't in place before?
Well, yes and no.
Not to this level.
Yes and no. Like many municipalities, like for example, Tri-Town, we have qualified staff.
Mm-hmm.
We have staff that have requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a licensed sanitarian, which is a premier license.
Mm-hmm.
It's analogous to registered nurse. It's analogous to professional engineer.
Mm-hmm.
that's my standard and Tri-Town standard, okay. But not every health department has that. Hmm. And so there was no standard per se.
Interesting.
Now it's a requirement.
Okay.
On top of that, every health department now, whether they like it or not, we're working with our towns, they now have to report their budget. Hmm. They have to report their public health revenue.
Wow.
Because, Sean, everyone should have access to a public health service, whether or not your town can afford a health agent or not. Hmm. You know, if someone in, you know, I'm just picking a rural town.
Yeah.
Alford. I love Alford.
Uh-huh.
It's in our collaborative.
Yeah.
Super small town. Really good leadership.
Yeah.
They may not have a significant a lot of stuff going on. They got septic and well, and you know, but not they don't have 100 restaurants.
Yeah.
But what happens when there's a tuberculosis TB case?
Yeah, right.
Long word, couldn't say it. What happens when you have a TB case?
Yeah.
And, for example, you don't have enough resources to fund a nurse. Those residents deserve access to public health,
right.
Or there's a rental. And there's a tenant that doesn't have heat, and the landlord's making it difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
That resident should have access to public health services.
Yeah.
Because of the way Massachusetts was structured and is structured, there's all these inequities. Like Boston has hundreds of inspectors. They can afford it.
Right.
Springfield has a huge inspectional services division. They can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You start going to all these other towns. They may not have the resources, but everyone deserves access.
Yeah.
So what the law does, it's going to start to build a new foundation of public health where if town A doesn't have the qualified staff and they're actually not doing a good job and they're not providing all the required services, they're going to be held accountable now.
Mm.
So either work together with a group of people or bring your staff up. You know, the salaries are probably going to go up because
yeah.
there's mandatory certifications now.
Right.
And so it just makes sense for municipalities to work together to share because our team are qualified, we're licensed, we're certified, we have years of experience, and we want to help the other towns that may not have the resources, may not have the staff, because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And there's no borders in public health. We learned that with the pandemic.
Although there's a lot of real estate in between some of those towns,
there is
right? I mean,
that is a
challenge
yeah.
in Western Massachusetts, Berkshire's especially, right?
Absolutely.
Is that you're not just right next door to where the services could be.
Well,
sometimes I think of Mount Washington or Sandusfield or someplace like, I mean, those are really distant places.
Yeah, so we cover, if let me get this right, the Tri-Towns,
yeah.
Leland Stoppage, Alford, New Marlborough, Monterey, Otis, Mount Washington, Sheffield, Great Barrington, Tieringham, Sandusfield.
Wow.
I think we got everybody. And so a lot of small towns, they may not have hundreds of restaurants, but they need services, housing, septic. And so like we want to do a better job of rebuilding the public health infrastructure. And I think with the legislation, while it feels new and it feels like, well, you're required to do this and you're required to do that. Hopefully before I retire, we'll see monumental shifts in the public health system because like, unlike county government, you go to some of these other states, they'll fund like a massive county government, like a county health department, and they'll cover a large geographic area.
Yeah.
We're kind of like on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And if your municipalities against the tax levy, for example, they need to make cuts, and you can't fund the health department the way it is.
That's a real problem.
We need assistance with that. It's got to be more than just grants.
So hopefully that is on the way, but maybe this is the first step toward that. It sounds like they are recognizing that that's a need and needs to be a requirement even in the smaller town. But, you know, once it's a requirement, you also have to, like you said, be able to fund it, somehow make it work.
Yeah, and I've always used the model with the building inspectors, you know, there's a lot of sharing things happening. Mm. Like there's, I know Lee, Lennox, Stockbridge, and Great Barrington have a shared building department now, which is we're seeing EMS conversations happening in some towns. I think some towns are sharing maybe a police chief. I know there was shared administrators.
Mm.
It's becoming, you know, it's not like there's town administrators lined up out the door to take these jobs, right? Like how do you fill a town administrator job in a town of Washington. That's, you know what I mean? It's so you're looking at ways of sharing and,
yeah.
But yeah, it's a fascinating model. And, I think things are going to be changing.
Yeah. Jim Willis is our guest here this morning on Morning Drive. He's the executive director of Tri-Town Health, and we are being heard on 88.1 in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge this morning, as well as 89.7 WTBR-FM here in Pittsfield. And so let's talk about, let's see, you have programs around vaccines.
Yep.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so our comprehensive public health nurse program does provide, we do annual flu and COVID vaccine clinics. I think we did last weekend we did a cleanup clinic, kind of like I think at St. Anne's, anyone that, you know, works certain hours, weekends, can't access clinics.
Not too late to get your vaccines for this season, right?
Not too late. So I think we did 19 clinics in South County, some schools, some community centers, town halls. We actually more than doubled our COVID vaccines, which I found very fascinating because unlike the first round of COVID vaccines that the state paid for, we have to purchase our own vaccines then. So we have to figure out and have an idea how many vaccines to purchase, hold, and offer.
Because they only last so long.
And, you know, I think we did 500 last year.
Wow.
And I had thought maybe people were COVID fatigued and that we would start to see a drop in the COVID request, but we did 1,200 COVID vaccines this year compared to last year.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, and we also offer, Jill and her team offers a homebound vaccine program for those that may not be able to get out and they're kind of homebound. We will go to their homes, and obviously Southern Berkshire Health.com is the collaborative website, or call Tri-Town, we'll link you up with that.
And it's the seasonal ones really you're talking about here, but there's probably others as well. The big seasonal ones, a COVID vaccine, flu vaccine, and is it RSV now that's the other one that people should be getting?
Yeah, we don't per se offer the RSV, but you can go, there's a whole thing with insurance, and it's a weird administrative thing. But one of the things that we just got certified to do is we became certified as a pediatric vaccine provider, meaning, for example, schools. You know, if people can't get into the pediatrician's offices, which they're asking us for help now because they're short-staffed. You know, we had been helping East Mountain. You know, they're short-staffed, and we helped them. But even, like, the school nurses are tapped out too. They're super busy. So we got certified as a pediatric vaccine provider. All the routine vaccines that the schools require, we'll actually go in and help the school nurses, you know, help the children get vaccinated for all those other things as well. So we're moving things along, and we're doing it the right way. We're working with towns and trying to slowly build up these systems, and a more feasible geographic location. Like, it doesn't make sense to have a program up in Williamstown and the nurse drive an hour and a half to Mount Washington. So to be more efficient in a more of a geographic system, that was my vision before the collaborative was even created. It's like, look, how can not only Tri-Town help ourselves with a nurse program, do we have a role here? Because Tri-Town's very well established. We're going on 100 years. and you want to talk about inequity. So you have the Tri-Town, and then you have surrounding towns that don't have a lot of help. And they don't have the resources, and they don't have the money, and they don't have the grants. They don't have the staff. They don't have people that can write grants. And so there's all these – I mean, there's an inequity, Sean, from one town to the other.
Yeah.
So trying to pave the way on – better services that make sense economically and efficiently. I'm so proud to kind of look now to where we were pre-pandemic to see that we're really moving along on this collaborative, and I hope we can only get better.
No, that's the thing that made sort of the game changer, if you will, the pandemic. Nobody expected that to sort of change society in so many ways, and this is just one more way that happened.
Oh, yeah. It was chaos. I mean, like, with the contact tracing, for those that don't know, like, when COVID hit, it was a reportable disease, and so other regulations we talked about, there's a whole list of communicable diseases that the nurse program has to follow up with. Strep, chickenpox, pertussis, and all these other things. There's all these requirements, foodborne illnesses and restaurant workers. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to be excused from work. There's all these regulations and laws.
I think mosquito-borne things, too, right? That's another whole issue.
H5N1's picking up steam, the new bird flu.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit and contact tracing was a requirement, I think it was an eye-opener at the epidemiological level at the state. It's like, well, wait a minute. Health departments don't have any staff to do contact tracing? It was chaos.
Right. I would think, kind of being foisted on you in a way. It's like, oh, now we have to do that. And it's the overwhelming thing. The other thing I want to get in before we run out of time here is household hazardous waste is a program that you run as well, right?
Yeah. So Triton administers the Southern Berkshire Household Hazardous Waste. For years, we actually paid CET to run it, and they kind of got out of that. So Triton picked it up. So we cover 17 towns. Mm. And it's another example of a shared service. So we have a budget, and what we do is each town's assessed, whatever their portion is for. We do two collections a year, one in Lee, one in Great Barrington. So we have a good relationship with Great Barrington, and then it gives us the resources and funding to hire our vendor, come collect. And get it all taken care of. And it's really expanded. I think we were averaging maybe 6,000 gallons of waste collected. I think this past fiscal year, six or 700 households. Mm-hmm.
And that's good, because that's stuff that doesn't end up in the other normal waste stream, right?
Yeah. And every municipality, even to the Mount Washingtons and the town of Washingtons and the Richmonds, they pay their share, and their residents have full access to our collection. It's just another example, because not one town can afford this. I mean, just the setup fee, just for them to show up, is probably more than most towns can afford. Yeah.
And I was mentioning to you off air that I thought it would be great if we could have, especially in Pittsfield, more opportunity to have household waste drop-offs, because it's sometimes just so rare, and you know if you miss it, now you got that stuff hanging around another whole year, another whole 6 months or something.
We do two a year. We do one usually in the fall, and we do one in the spring, probably, I think, usually May, depending on the timeline of the contract. And it's not slowing down. In fact, I can probably do a third one, but it'd be a lot more money. It's around like $60,000 a year to do two events. It's pretty pricey.
Well, and it does show you, though, that different parts of the county are all dealing with some of the same issues, right? That's kind of what we talk about here. Certainly Pittsfield has had its share of dealing with trash and recycles and toters and everything else this past year. And obviously it's something that's worked its way through and finally changed after many, many years of having unlimited trash pickup in Pittsfield. We finally made that move to increase recycling, which I think most people would agree is a good thing, but it's hard to change.
No, it is. I mean, I have two similar perspectives, because I live in Pittsfield. I'm a taxpayer in Pittsfield. And I regulate trash in South County, but it's privatized. Most of the South County towns don't have a municipal service. It's private.
Yeah.
So, you hire Casella or whatever company it is, and you deal with it. But we do have regulations in South County that require bundled service, meaning any licensed hauler has to provide recycling. It's not a choice. Because if people have a choice, they'll just throw the recyclables.
Of course.
In the trash, which is a violation of law, actually. So we deal with that. So I deal with toters in South County. It's not a new thing. As a resident, I was a proponent of the toter program at the last administration, because it's like, I remember when I worked for the city of Pittsfield many years ago, it feels like a lifetime ago, and people would do these cleanouts, and it'd be like hundreds of trash bags everywhere, and
you could see it just driving down the street, right?
And the amount of resources that we had to spend on city solicitor, court. Thank God.
Big issue. Got to be dealt with. Jim Willis, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
It's been great having you, and we really appreciate you coming, and we'll do it again. Lots to talk about, as always, and definitely applicable to our wider audience here on Pittsfield Community Radio now. So thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. And folks, have a great weekend out there. We hope everybody enjoys this nice, maybe you get a little bit of snow on Sunday night into Monday. We'll see how that goes. All right. Take care, everybody.